as we begin our worship service, let me give you a scripture before we sing. From Psalm 104:33, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God while I live. Standing together as we sing, I sing praises to your name. Deacon is coming to lead us in prayer. I believe that's Tommy today.
Boy, it got quiet off, shit. Now, I get this. Just the word I'm going to say is that this thought that I've had on my prayers for my Sunday school lesson and our teaching this morning. And all it is, if we sit here in this congregation with hope and peace, it's all God's doing. Without God, we don't have a hope of no kind. But it's His works, not ours. So where I'm going to go in this prayer, it just give Him a little glory for it. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for knowing that You're all-knowing, all-powerful. the gift of salvation is your plan beforehand, Lord, that you just bring us to you through your love and your sacrifice on the cross. And Lord, let's just give thanks time for you, just for your word, your print that you can let us read every day and study and bring life, bring it to life in our hearts and our minds, Lord. And let's just give thanks knowing that, that it's all about you. It's not coming to just give you thanks for bringing family together, but just pray that this family each and every day looks at God as Jesus as a role model for our life, Lord. They wasn't even a bad thought in his mind just how awesome, how pure he was. And let's just let our minds go to him each and every day, knowing that this old world shape it is, he's still in control. Lord, let's just give thanks, knowing that as we look out our doors of the morning, he was the creator of this. And this, Lord, and let's have our thoughts and our prayers is that he wants an individual relationship with each and every one of us. And the reason we come here today, Lord, is to worship him, give him the glory and honor for all and praise for all. Lord, let's give you thanks. Lord, I'm going to give you thanks for my life. I hope I'm praying and giving thanks for all the lives and sanctuary and ones that can hear this word today. Lord, and just be with us. Just keep guiding us. Keep leading us. I know you will. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're with us in our thoughts each and every day. And I pray that this, through a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this is not just something we do on Sunday. It's coming because we want to be here and give him glory and honor for it. It's because of his love for us. Lord, just be with him. Just pray that our lives is a witness to our workplace, where we're at, wherever we do our business. Lord, and forgive us for what we feed. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen.
Let's sing together a hymn of assurance, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Stand together as we sing. To hear. how great thou art.
Someone lived to be an old man. Somebody asked him how he lived such a fruitful life, such an old life. And he replied, "I never lost the wonder." As a wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder at sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder of springtime and harvest, the sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
I will agree with you there, brother. It is a wonder. I don't know about y'all, but it's a wonder that he does love me for sure. I'm a product of Steve Frazier, so that makes it even more a wonder. I'm going to tell you something. My dad takes every opportunity to pick on me. So this morning, I just want to tell you guys, I'm sorry that you have to have him as your pastor. So. No, I'm just kidding. But I do want to also tell you, if you get tired of him, we are accepting new members at Woodland, even during this coronavirus stuff. So I'm kidding, of course. But I'm sure you all agree with me that he has been a blessing to your life as he has been to mine. I'm thankful and blessed to have him as my dad. And man, the stuff that he's taught me throughout my years being a dad, being a husband, now being a pastor, it's been awesome to be able to see him as an example. I want to ask this morning if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 18. Verses 12 through 18. I'm going to tell you guys something maybe a little bit funny. You may not believe this, but this is actually a sermon that Goober helped me write. I have been going through on Thursday mornings. He and I meet together for breakfast and sit down in my office, and we go through, and I've been teaching him how to do sermons. So you may hear one from him sometime soon. But we were going through it one day, and this one came up, and I loved it. And so I preached it the next Sunday, and I wanted to preach it to you guys this morning. Today, I want to continue basically what Dad has been talking with you guys about, a very pertinent topic for the church today, and that's the church in crisis, it never fades away from being about the business of God, or about the Father's business, as Dad always says. I always tell our church during this time that we are not on vacation. A lot of times, that's kind of funny thinking that Dad's on vacation today, but we are not ever on vacation from being and doing the things that God would have us to do. And I don't know about you guys, but during all this time, during the coronavirus, COVID-19 stuff, it has taken a heavy hit towards my relationship spiritually with God. Let me explain to you what I mean. The normal that we get into of being together with God's people for a while was pushed against, was hurt. And I'm not saying that it was a bad thing that we had to be at home for a while. It was a good thing, I believe, in wisdom and everything for a little bit to be doing stuff like that. But how good has it been to be able to be back together with God's people? Are you guys in agreement with that? I know I thank God that we are able to have our services back in our church, in our sanctuary. We're going to be doing that starting this coming up August the 2nd. So be praying for us if you would in that. If you would stand with me all over the room, let me tell you what we do at our church. We always pray God's word together. Psalm 119:34. I think I've done this here before. I'll say it and you repeat it after me, okay? If you want to. Psalm 119:34. It says, "Give me understanding,
give me understanding,
that I may keep your law,
and observe it with my whole heart."
Amen. Let's read this passage of Scripture this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. He starts out this. It's the middle of a sentence. It says, "Which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly, and he found me. May the Lord grant to him divine mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. As you're being seated, let me pray for us again this morning. Father God, we thank you so much for another day to be able to sing praises and to lift up your name. Lord, we love you. God, we ask that you would take your word this morning, magnify it in our hearts and before us, Lord, today. God, hide me behind your cross. Allow me to only say the things, God, that you would have me to say. And it's in your precious and holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to share a story with you this morning, and I'm sure as it did at my church, it may ring true for some of you ladies and men in this room. I share this story for a very specific reason. It's not to make light of this issue by any means, but I want to share this story with you to remind us of something so very true about God's Word. Listen to this. It's a story about a young lady. It says, in 2010 was a year of many tears for me, tears of joy and tears of great sorrow. It began in June when my husband and I found that we were pregnant. We have two beautiful boys that we adopted as babies, but this was my first pregnancy. To say that I was ecstatic would be an understatement. Then our world came crashing down on us in September. I went for my 18-week ultrasound and was devastated when I was told that my water had leaked some and that there was no fluid left around the baby and that delivery would be imminent. My first thought was total disbelief and pure agony. What was God doing? For the next 7 weeks, I defied all odds and didn't deliver. And then October 27th, at exactly 25 weeks pregnant, I was admitted to the hospital for what I hoped would be a 9-week stay. But shortly after I was admitted, the monitors showed that I was having contraction and I was rushed back for an emergency C-section. That afternoon, we welcomed our precious baby girl, Eliza Grace, into the world, weighing at 1.5 pounds and 13 inches long. She was incredibly tiny but perfectly formed. God, in His great mercy, allowed me to sustain my pregnancy to the point that I got to meet our daughter and see how He had fearfully and wonderfully made her. The NICU staff fought hard for her, but after an hour of being worked on, we were told that she was not going to live. They unhooked her tiny body from all the tubes and wires and placed the baby on my chest. And that is where she spent the next 3 hours until she quietly passed away from my arms into the arms of our Heavenly Father. Eliza's short life impacted me dramatically. I've been a Christian since I was young, but I've never really been challenged in my faith until I was standing at the grave of my baby girl. At that moment, I had a choice to make, to turn to the one God who gave and took away, or to turn away from Him. And I chose to cling desperately to my Father. I got into the Word with a new fervency. It was no longer just words on a page, but truth and life. Also, I sought to learn more about God through His Word. One thought kept popping over and over in my mind, and that's that this isn't how it's supposed to be. But I came to conclude that nothing in this world is as it's supposed to be. Too often, as a Christian, I get into the habit of thinking I deserve good days and easy paths, but that isn't what God has promised me. As I read the Word, I saw numerous times how faithful Christians suffered and the ultimate suffering of Christ on the cross. Suffering and pain are part of this fallen world, but those who trust in Christ can have great hope that He is using our pain to draw us closer to Him. I've taken great comfort from 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that our faith, which is greater than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. The lady goes on to share a few more scripture verses, Proverbs 3:5, and then Romans 8:28, which says, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to God's purpose. She ends by saying this, seeking Him through His Word, He wants you to trust His plan for you. And to quote my son, Jesus' storybook, to remember that God loves you and never has stopped loving you and never gives up loving you, and He's unbreakable, always and forever loving us. I share that story for this reason. We've all gone through times in our life where we have suffered as Christians. Paul wrote this passage of Scripture to Timothy in a time where he was suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. I would venture to say that many of us probably would never experience something like that, but after these days that we've experienced, who knows what might happen in the future? I want us to be ready. As a Christian in today's time, we should be thankful for the salvation that God's given us, and we should seek to spiritually rekindle our lives every step of the way. Prior to these verses that we're looking at this morning, that's exactly what Paul encouraged Timothy to do. Be thankful for your salvation and spiritually rekindle your life. He in essence says, take the billow that just makes the fire hotter and harder and put that to your life. Rekindle the fire that God has put inside of you. And these weren't just any words that Paul shared with Timothy. These were words of a dying man. Many people believe that this was Paul's last letter to Timothy or to anybody, because shortly hereafter, Paul would be beheaded by the government. Last writings of Paul. That's something that I believe would be huge. What would your last words be if you were sharing those with somebody, knowing that death is imminent within a short period of time? What would be the last things that you would say? And Paul utilized these times to encourage Timothy to remember who you are. Church, this morning, I want to remind you, remember who you are. Remember what God has done in and through your life. From a prison cell, we hear these words being proclaimed, but how oftentimes do we in our comfort forget so easily that God is who He says He is? Paul wrote to encourage a young Christian to keep on going. I want to be clear about something, and many of you know this. When Paul wrote this to Timothy, he was writing to a pastor, to be a pastor, but these words that he shared with Timothy are very applicable to every Christian in our walk with Jesus Christ. So as we look at this morning, connect yourself in with God's Word and see this, that using the examples of how Paul suffered, Paul shared with Timothy the instructions to face suffering biblically and in a biblical way. We face suffering as Christians, and if we can do this in a biblical way, the way that Paul gives the example here, then we would be glorifying God in the process. Here's the question I want us to ask the text this morning. How do we as Christians biblically face suffering? That's a good question, right? How do we biblically face suffering in this life? When things come at us and they seek to hurt us, sometimes intentionally and sometimes things that just happen in life, but regardless, when we face suffering, how do we biblically face these things to where we make sure that we are aligning our lives as Jesus would? We've heard the saying all throughout our lives probably, what would Jesus do? In essence, taking ourself and removing ourselves for a situation and putting Jesus in there. How would He respond in this time? And I believe Paul gives us a few things here this morning in this passage that will show us how we should face suffering. This isn't an exhaustive list by any means, but this is a very specific list for when you face suffering, here's how you should act. The first one that we see is there in verse 12. Look at it again with me. It says, which is why I suffer as I do. This was playing off of verse 11 where Paul was talking more about remembering who you are. And he says, this is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed. I know that there is a God, and I am convinced that He is able to guard until that day that has been entrusted to me. What has been entrusted to me? So here's our question. How do we as Christians biblically face suffering? We biblically face suffering by being confident. By being confident. If you're following along with us this morning, that's our first point, to be confident. This is what Paul was in this situation. He says, I'm in a situation where I'm suffering. We know that he is locked up and been beaten and hurt, and he is in pain and sorrow, which is some more of the stuff that he talks about here in just a few minutes. But he says, I am confident. Now, for some of us this morning, that's not very hard for us to do. In fact, some of us maybe be overly confident, but I would venture to say this, we all need to be more confident in our God. How convinced are you? Listen to this question. How convinced are you that God is God? That, if you think about that for just a second, that's a good question. How convinced are you? How convinced am I that God is truly God? For some of us, maybe who have been in our faith for longer years, we may be able to answer that question very easily. I'm so convinced that God is God. But for some of us who may be younger in our faith, we may say it's a little bit harder. But for all of us, at some point in our life, we stand up and we don't live out our lives as if God is truly God. Why? It's because we're not confident in our God in every situation. How do we biblically face suffering? Well, when suffering comes at you, be confident, listen, church, that God is still God. Amen. God is still God. He didn't quit when coronavirus started. And in fact, he didn't take vacation. God is still God. God is still on the throne. Do you live your life as if he is God? Anybody ever heard the name Bear Bryant? A few of you, okay. So John McKay of the NFL tells a story illustrating the supreme confidence of the University of Alabama football coach Bear Bryant. Listen to this story. We were out shooting ducks, and finally, after about 3 hours, here comes one lonely duck. Bear pulls up his gun and fires at the duck, and the duck is still flying today. That's not it. Listen to this. But Bear watched the duck flap away, and he looked at me and he said, John, you are witnessing a true miracle. There flies a dead duck. That's confidence, right? He knew he hit that duck. Church, this morning, sometimes our confidence may look like that when we're facing trials and sufferings, when we look and say, you know what, my God is still God. People on the outside looking in would see a flying duck when we know the duck's been shot. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Sometimes to the world, when we show that our confidence isn't in stuff, it isn't in statistics, it isn't in things. And I'm not saying to have a blind faith here this morning. What I'm saying is that our confidence lies in God to the point that we say, hey, I don't care what it looks like right now. I know that my God is still God. When we face suffering, when you face suffering, when I face suffering, God is still God. Let's continue on. When we face suffering, when we face it biblically, we face it by being cardinal. Cardinal, like a bird that flies around? No. Listen to verse 13. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Cardinal. The word cardinal can be a bird. We know what that is. But the word cardinal can also mean this, of greatest importance and fundamental. Here's what I'm trying to say here with this morning. We biblically face suffering by being cardinal. We biblically face suffering by looking at God's word and following the sound words that he has taught from us, to us. When you heard these things for the first time, think about whenever your heart was open and you received Jesus Christ into your life to be the Lord of your life. You knew that there was one thing of utmost importance, and that was Jesus Christ died for me. He died for me. It's a wonder, right, brother, that he died for me on the cross. It's a wonder that he loves me. The words that Jesus gave, these instructions, they are of the greatest importance. As we live out our days here on this earth, some of us need to remember this, that the most cardinal thing in this life is to live for Jesus Christ. It's to follow the instructions that he has given for us. When we face suffering, sometimes we take other things and we make them cardinal. Hold on a second, Pastor Josh. You're saying I need to follow him all the time? Yes. In the hardest of times, help me out here, because I know it's hard for me. Sometimes it's hard to follow Jesus. Am I right? Sometimes it gets difficult whenever other things cloud our view. Whenever we are hurting and we are in pain, we don't want to make necessarily God first. And we don't do it intentionally. It's because we're sinners. It's because we've fallen. It's because we do not have a natural desire to follow Jesus Christ. So think about this with me this morning. If we could make Jesus, God, cardinal in everything, of the most greatest importance, fundamental in our lives. Fundamental meaning that it's natural for us to automatically just do what he wants us to do. It would sure help suffering out a whole lot. It would help us in these times when we have no idea what's going on. There is nothing greater that you can do in this life than to live for Christ. There's nothing greater that you can do. We have a cardinal reason to keep on moving, to keep going, to keep pushing through. This overcomes suffering. If you think about this, if you have a goal, if you have a cardinal reason to live, suffering doesn't seem quite as big as what it did originally. When you have a cardinal reason to follow Jesus Christ and to do what he's told you to do, the rest of the things in life don't seem as big. Again, this comes from a man who is sitting in a dark jail cell, hurting and bruised and beaten, and who knows what all he went through. We know the things that he's written about, but he's sitting in a jail cell and he says to follow the patterns that Jesus Christ has laid out for us. To me, that means something. When we first started fostering, a lot of you got to meet some of our foster kids as we would come up here from time to time. We had two little guys. One of them's name was Braxton and one of them's name was Waylon. Some of you may remember those two little guys. We had a very hard day with them one time, and that was the day that we went to the courthouse and they got sent back home to their mom and dad. It was a good thing. It was a great thing that their mom and dad had gotten their life right. But for Lydia and I, it was extremely, extremely hard. It was a day that I didn't understand in my heart what was truly going on. We had little Mabry at home and she was just a baby then. But these two little guys had been with us for over a year and we had gotten connected with them to the point where they would even refer to us as Mama Lydia and Daddy Josh. And like that was who we were to them. And now everything was changing. It was a day that I looked back to and I remember so vividly. Lydia and I are riding to it was about a 20-minute drive from our house to the place where we had to go to the courthouse, and we were just riding and neither one of us could talk, and so we just turned on the radio and the songs that started playing were just one after another reminding us that Jesus is most important in our life. At the end of the day for you, at the end of the day for me, when we have the things that oftentimes want to pull us away from God, can we stand up and say, God, you are cardinal. You are the most important. You are the most fundamental thing that this life has for us. On the hardest of days and on the easiest of days, God, you are the most important. I want to live my life as if Jesus is cardinal, as if living for God is cardinal. Here's a third thing. We biblically face suffering by being cautious. By being cautious. So when suffering comes, do not be rash or quick to make decisions. Be cautious. Listen to verse 14. It says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Do all of you in here know, if you are a born-again believer, you've been entrusted with something that is so great? Think about if you had the opportunity to let one of your children die for someone else. One of your children, let them go for someone, or someone you love and hold dearly, to let them die for someone else. If you had the mindset to do that, would that not be a good gift that you have given to someone? Yes. Absolutely. And Jesus is telling us, or God's telling us, by him giving his son Jesus, he has given such a precious gift. Guard it with everything that is inside of you. By the Holy Spirit, trusting in the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, guard this good deposit. Hold on to it. Utilizing the Holy Spirit in your life and through the power of God, be on guard. When suffering comes, we can stand firmly and guard against it. I remember a time when I was standing in the front yard. I was working on some bushes or something like that, trimming them up. And Lydia told one of our other foster kids, that was a young little girl, about 8 years old. And she told her, she said, go check the mail, which she loved to do because you don't let her get near the road, right? But for this little bit of a moment, she could go and check the mail and come right back. And so she loved to do it. And I heard her tell her to go. And then as soon as she jumped off the front porch to run down and grab the mail, I hear Lydia scream to her, stop, do not move, come back to me quickly. What was in the yard? Anybody know?
A snake.
Yeah, so y'all are following along. So there is a huge snake, and to Lydia's knowledge, it was like 20 feet long. It really wasn't. It may have been like 6 feet or something like that, but regardless, it was a snake, and in my wife's opinion, the only good snake is a dead snake. Y'all are filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. And so Lydia saw this snake. We've been entrusted with this deposit of a little girl to take care of her, to make sure that she is taken care of. And Lydia, when she saw the suffering, when she saw what was about to happen if she continued through the front yard, she stopped her. She was on guard watching her as she not only was going to the road, but also traversing over something that could potentially have been dangerous for her. Now, come to find out it was just a king snake, and so she called me and she told me to kill it, and I killed it. I shoot it off the property. She knows I did that. I'm not lying to her. So, but whenever I think about that situation, she was guarding what had been entrusted to us. Think about what God has given to you. Do we let our salvation that God has given to us just be flippant? Who cares, right? He let his son die for me. No big deal. I mean, how oftentimes do we get to that point in our lives? To me, whenever that kind of thing happens in my life, and don't get me wrong, everybody goes through this, right? Pastors all the way down to the most heathen of Christians, right? Amen? We got a few of y'all in here. Amen? Anybody? No, y'all aren't supposed to say amen to that. Talking about somebody else, right? When we cherish what God has given to us, when we hold it tight, when we guard this deposit, we're showing what it truly means to us. Let me ask you this. Anybody affected by the electricity going out a few weeks ago? A couple of you, okay. Anybody not affected? You can go ahead and leave. We're good. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The other day, electricity goes out, and we're sitting there trying to cook macaroni and cheese and all this kind of stuff, and we're like, what in the world do we do? And what's one of the first things that you do when the electricity goes out? Anybody? Share something with me. Try it, and make sure you're not just crazy, right? Okay. Call the light people. What else?
Light a candle.
What'd you say? Flashlight. That's right. Some of you younger people are probably like, got to go find the portable charger because heaven forbid the cell phone die, right? And so all these things happen because we're ready. We're on guard against when the electricity goes out. I got a drawer at home that we go to. It's got flashlights. It's got matches. It's got everything in there for if the electricity goes out, right? And we have portable chargers to make sure the cell phones don't die. And so all these things, we know exactly what to do because when the electricity goes out, we're ready. We're on guard. We are set. Let me ask you this, church, this morning. Are you ready for when the electricity goes out spiritually in your life? Are you ready when the suffering hits? Are you on guard? Have you set yourself up to whenever something happens, you filled your heart, you have hidden away inside of you the scripture, the holy word of God, to where you know how to act whenever suffering hits? You see, Paul warns him. He says, be on guard. Paul knew that things were coming Timothy's way. Church, this morning I'm standing before you, and I'm going to tell you this. We haven't seen the last of what people on the outside want to do to the church. We have not seen it all. It scares me to think of this, that my little girls may bleed for their faith one day, and I'm hoping and trusting that one day they will be saved. But one day they may bleed for their faith, and who knows, one day we might. Who knows what might happen? I just know this, that he tells them to be on guard, to be ready, because when these things happen, you need to be cautious. The last thing that I think that we see, how do we face suffering biblically? We biblically face suffering by being a community. I want to tell you something about Riverside Baptist Church, and I love this. When I come here, and I've told you all this before, I feel right at home. And I think it goes beyond just my dad being the pastor here. I think you are a loving community group of people. If you look around this room, can you agree with that statement this morning? You are a community. And that's why it's so good when we come back together. Listen to verses 15 down through 18. Let's read the rest of this. It says, you are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me. That's a church who was not living a community-based church. Among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. You don't want to be these two guys, right? Like, I hope later on maybe they got right with God and got saved and maybe we'll see them in heaven. But goodness gracious, like, you went down in history for being bad church people. Who in here's name might go there? Don't answer that out loud. And don't point at anybody. People in our church oftentimes want to live against community. God is very specific that He sent His Son to die not only for you, but also for everyone. And so when we come together, we are a community wrapped around this idea that we help and we give to one another. We build up. We recharge our batteries. Anybody ever heard that? You come to church, recharge your batteries. You come here to get spiritually equipped for when you leave these doors. When you leave out of this room and now you are following Jesus Christ with your life, your community. Listen to verse 16. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. This guy went down in history for being the good guy, the good kind of community. Well, what did he do? He often refreshed me. I don't know what exactly that means. Does anybody else say anything different? Anybody? Refreshed? So the idea here is that he tended to him. He gave to him. When you have people over to your house, family, friends, and you feed them, and you give to them, and you love on them, and you show them that you are friends and you are family in essence. That's what he did to him. He refreshed him. And then he says this, he was not ashamed of my chains. I don't know about you guys, but whenever somebody asks me where do I go to church or where is the church that I go to, I'm very happy and I'm very excited about the fact that I am a pastor at Woodland Baptist Church. I'm very adamant about the fact that I am super excited that that is my family. That is my community that God has given to me. He was not ashamed of Paul, and we should not be ashamed of what we have here. Let me tell you something that goes beyond just not saying anything bad about your church family is when you don't say anything good. Some of us are guilty of that. We don't ever talk about our church family. Sometimes we want to stop and we don't even want to pretend like we have this community. If we love this and cherish this like we truly say that we do, like the Bible tells us to do, we will not be ashamed of the chains. We will not be ashamed of the fact that we love Jesus here and we lift each other up, we build each other up, and we share this with the people that we come in contact with in our culture, within our town, cities, our Haywood County, North Carolina, the United States, all the way to the world. We're not ashamed that we have what we have here, which is the community that is built on Jesus Christ. He goes a little bit further. He says, when I arrived in Rome, he looked for me earnestly and he found me. Church, this morning, there may be people that are all around you that are hurting and they need somebody to walk up to them and say, how can I help? I know some of us are really good about doing that. The idea is that we should be doing this. We should be seeking to help however we can. I love the fact that y'all are still doing the showers and stuff for the young ladies who are having babies. That's reaching out and saying, hey, we want to lift you up and make sure that you are ready for what's coming. There's so much to be said about community within God's word. And then he goes on, he says, may the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And we will well know all the services that he rendered at Ephesus. This man went down in history being a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, some people say, well, the deacons should be servants. The pastors should be servants. Sunday school teachers should be servants. I believe this, that if you were bought by a price, Jesus' blood bought you and you were a Christian, you're called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. You're called to be a part of the community that he has for us. We see this example of community that's bad, Asia, Church of Asia. Maybe even multiple examples of negative impact within the church. I want to share this one thing with you. I always say this, that there's no hurt like church hurt. If you've ever been hurt in the church, you know how bad it hurts. Why? Because you pour your heart out and you bear it all because you're doing it for the Lord. And when someone says something, if someone hurts your feelings, it hurts, man. It hurts because you love this place, you love these people, and it hurts. I want to share this with you though. If you go to a restaurant and you have terrible service, the food is cold, didn't even taste good, you don't leave there going, well, I'm never going back to eat food again. I'm just not going to eat any more food. I'm done with this. I want to encourage you this morning, when something bad happens to you within God's church, be like Paul. Continue. And maybe you even go and you look around other places. I'm not saying, and if you do, come to Woodland, okay? That's it. I'm not saying that anymore. But when we get hurt within the church, it hurts really bad. And it should hurt really bad. It hurt Paul enough to bring it up here. But remember the other ones who refreshed you and sought you out and who tended to you and who were not ashamed of you and your chains. We have examples oftentimes of bad community, but we oftentimes have examples of good community too. I saw this a lot growing up in church. People caring for the needs not only of my family, my dad being the pastor, but also each other. It always just as a young person, just dumbfounded me. Why would somebody go through so much trouble? Now I see why. It's such a biblical thing. So how do we face suffering biblically? The four C's that I gave you this morning. First of all, be confident. Second, be cardinal. This following Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life. Be cautious. Guard what God has given to you and be ready for when those times come. And be community. Share in the community that God has given to you. I want to end this service like this, and oftentimes we will sing this song together at my church, but a lot of you may have heard this song on the radio. It's called What a Beautiful Name. I want to read you some of the lyrics of this song, and when I think about these things, what God has given to us, I think about this, that it's only by the power of Jesus Christ that we're able to do any of these things. It's only by His Holy Spirit indwelling us. Listen to what these things say. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Church, this morning, I'm going to encourage you. Maybe you're going through a time of suffering. Maybe you're going through a time that you don't understand or can't explain exactly why this is happening. Maybe you've been through something, but I want you to share this with you too. You will be going through something eventually if you're not already right now. It'll come around again. Satan wants nothing less than to get his foot in the door to cause you pain. Don't let those things pull you away from God. Let them run you towards Him. Be these four C's that we've talked about this morning. Let me pray for us. And again, I just want to tell you, thank you so much for letting me be here with you guys this morning. I hope you got something out of God's Word. I know I did. I love seeing Paul's writings to the churches, to the pastors. It's such a great thing to be able to see him who was going through so much, be able to share so boldly with what God wants us to do. Let me pray and you will be dismissed. Is that right, Miss Dot? Pray. All right. Father God, thank you so much for another day, God, to be able to see the words that you have given to us. Lord, I thank you for Riverside Baptist Church. I thank you for my dad, my family, Lord, who you've placed me, Lord, in this life, God. Lord, I thank you for my church, Lord. I thank you for my family, Lord. I thank you for, God, the blessings that you give to us. Lord God, this may sound weird, but I thank you also for the suffering that you allow us to go through in this life. Lord, in the grand scheme of things, Lord, it should push us closer to you because we do know that all things work together for our good. That means the worst of worst things, God, somehow, in some way, ultimately bring you glory, and they also are there for our good. Lord, help us to understand and realize, God, to be confident in you, Lord, in everything that we do. God, allow us just to be able to stop, Lord, and just think about our relationship with you this morning. Lord, move in our hearts. God, allow us to make changes where necessary. Lord, be with us throughout this week, and it's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be dismissed.